We're back. And I think I've got Govinda here from Sri Lanka. Govinda, come on in.
Hey, what's going on, Izzy? Well,
hey, you sound better than Trish.
I know, because we're praying this time. We got a good connection.
I can't believe how good you sound all the way from there to here. It's unbelievable.
Amen. Well, that's cool.
You sound better than me.
You sound pretty good, too.
You sound better than everybody. What kind of mic are you using? Just a regular mic? Headset?
Actually, this is one of those.
Yeah. Oh, I think...
Hey, what's going on, Z?
I think we're having a delay.
Beautiful.
Okay.
This is beautiful.
You're on a 10-second delay. You're going to have to turn off the radio broadcast.
Oh, got it. There you go. Got it.
Okay. That's funny, though. I heard it myself on the delay over there. So how are you doing? Sri Lanka, just for people that have so much information, so much news about the whole world going up in smoke, a lot of violence everywhere. We've got Pakistan. We've got all kinds of things going on. And here you are in the little island of Sri Lanka. And, well, not so little, but I mean, you know, the very conflicted Sri Lanka. And so I ask you now, you said that, you know, it's really on the verge of all-out civil war. What's happening?
Well, I sent you that article that just was put out by the BBC. Just, I mean, they do have a tendency to sensationalize. But, yeah, things, you know, here are not necessarily getting better anytime soon.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes what happens with the press, you know, every time they've been talking about it, Sri Lanka's been in civil war for the last 25 years. But, you know, things here have kind of gotten to a point where it really doesn't look like they're going to get better anytime soon.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there's some pretty, there's continuous clashes going on in the north these days. So every day there's something about, you know, 30, 40, 50 soldiers dying. And the problem is the civilians, they get caught in the crossfire.
Okay, so, but you're witnessing that on a level. I think it's part of a trend, a global trend, to be honest with you. You know, that we're just seeing more and more violence. We're seeing more and more manifestations of just, in other words, like things that were smoldering, you know, hatred between various groups of people around the world that were smoldering there. To me, it looks like they are just now erupting. Like this is coming into a season of just human conflict all over the globe.
Well, Jesus did say wickedness would increase and the love of most would grow cold, so... I mean, we are definitely moving into a season right now where, it does get worse on a natural level.
Yeah. Sure. Govinda is the founder of FaithMix, faithmix.com, and he does audios, great audios, great written words, great resource. If you're just, like, we have a lot of listeners recently, Govinda, who are just coming to Christ, they're just waking up, they're just figuring out what the problem is, let's say, realizing that you're kind of like half Indian, half American. So, I mean, you've been exposed to, say, the Eastern religions.
Mm, yeah. Okay. Well,
and you even have like an Eastern religion name. But you've been
by default,
not your fault.
Yeah,
but look, you could have been like, you know, what could you be? Anyway, who cares?
Yeah.
The point is that a lot of Westerners, even today, I'm noticing they're running to the Buddhism, they're running to Hinduism and things like that because they think that's cool and that's really the way. And they don't understand that the same corruption that we talk about in, say, organized Christianity, organized religion in general, is you have the same corruptions exactly going on from Tibet all the way to Indonesia and beyond.
Oh, yeah. I mean, even they call Sri Lanka one of these last bastions of pure Buddhism, but if you kind of know what goes on with these monks, and I'll give you an example. They just recently had an HIV conference in Sri Lanka,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know if it's how to say this, but one of the monks ended up getting HIV from the conference because these guys coming down. So some of them are following and persisting in their practice, but then other ones are, they just wear a robe.
I've tried to explain this to people, and like, you know, they say, I really follow God, and they have like a Buddha as their kind of thing on their website, you know, say like Maitreya Buddha or Amida Buddha, or one of the, you know, kind of cool, like, gold Buddha figures, like, this is really peace. The thing that they don't understand is, and what they're attracted to is the atheistic aspect of it. In other words, the self-meditation, self-willed, you know, enlightenment. And I can tell you, when I was really disturbed in Los Angeles, and I was really, oh, what a mess I was, and I was going from to the city yogas, and I went to the Buddhists, and I went to the, even to Nichiren, like what we call born-again Buddhism, which is the chanters, right, and also Hare Krishna, and everywhere. And I just kept saying, I need some enlightenment, I need some peace. I mean, I'm going through, I'm remembering awful things, I'm seeing the world a certain, and everywhere I went, it was just another mask. I mean, Hare Krishna, all the way to the top people there, the top people in Nichiren Shoshu, the top people in, I'll just go right down the list, the top people in City Yoga, and they have a very, very big presence in Santa Monica, California. And I went from each thing to each thing to each thing and threw myself at it, you know, because I wanted peace. I wanted some kind of a healing for my my mind, and my spirit was damaged. And everywhere I went, including the Christian church, including Zen Buddhists, the two Rinzai and Soto schools of Zen, including Taoism, all of the, including the occult in the Manly P. Hall, the place that's on Los Feliz Boulevard called the Philosophical Research Society, which is a huge library and bookstore, and they do conferences. All of that, including the Theosophical, all of that, I saw the exact same spirit, if you will, the exact same hierarchy or social construction that I saw everywhere else, which was seeking to take souls.
Yeah. Well, it's the Babylon religious system.
Amen.
It just comes in many different manifestations. And I sometimes, when I talk to people, and even when I talk to pastors, I mean, there's pastors that will, you know, not, you know, on the record, but off the record, they'll talk to me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're stuck in it, but it's the same system, and the people don't realize that the religion of Christianity is very, very different than the walk in Christ. And the religion of Christianity, most people that, you know, I think from the States that are kind of running over to try to find Buddhism or yoga or some kind of enlightenment, what they're running from is the Babylon Christian religion, which is no different than any of these other ones. Now, they just keep going from one distraction to another, one face to another. They keep going through the same things that you pursued.
I went to school. Yeah. I majored in my major, Hinduism, because I thought, now here's the way, right?
Well, and I think, Zeph, one thing that just the fact that you pursued it with everything that you were, and you were asking and you were seeking and you were knocking, you did come to, because if you ask, seek, and knock, you receive, you find, you know, the door's definitely open. So you when you're seeking truth, you ultimately find Jesus. Anybody that will truly seek truth, if their heart is seeking that, and if God draws you to that as well, but it's that path, and this path of discovery of even coming back to Him. So, I mean, it's even the Buddha, I mean, even Siddhartha, his whole pursuit of enlightenment, his whole pursuit to try to attain that, you know, even look at all that came against him, even in the stories that they have about it, to keep him from that.
He also went through
the world. Yeah, the world doesn't want you to.
He went through temptations. Yeah, because he separated himself and went on a journey, a spiritual quest to find out why there's such suffering in the world. So it was. I encourage everyone to read the story of Siddhartha, to read any way you can, even Siddhartha by Hermann Hesse. I mean, any of them that give a good account, and you can also get other accounts, historical accounts as well, of a man who is absolutely, you know, the son of a king who never saw any pain or suffering because it was all kept from him. The minute he stepped outside the palace, he goes, "What the hell is this?" and he was so horrified, you know, just like somebody kept in a sheltered environment and they suddenly see the world. There's like, I can't. We got to do something. We can't just let it go like this. And so he sought to do so. He's a real hero. And, you know, the only thing that he could manage to come up with, and I'm sorry, it didn't work. It's sort of like Moses with the Ten Commandments. He came up with the Eightfold Path, which is eight out of ten, right? I mean, and the bottom line is nobody could follow it. That's the point I'm trying to tell you. It didn't make a difference in the world.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he went through a process of trying to shatter different illusions. And yeah. So, I mean, when he stepped outside the walls of his palace, mm-hmm. he realized, wait a second, what I'm living in is an illusion.
Yes.
And so the next step of this was then, you know, going and separating himself from that and then coming up with, wait a second, the world is illusionary. This, and so he started going down this path. Now, he didn't quite reach what it was that he was looking for in the end. Mm-hmm. See, and that's really where, I mean, I keep referring back to that audio of the wheel. I really love that one because it's just, you know, to get off the wheel is Christ.
Christ is the being, when we are born again, when we give our life to Jesus and he saves us because he's already saved us. And we accept his salvation. We accept him into our heart. We are changed. And that change is a new life off the wheel. That's the whole point. But the world doesn't like that because that they say, no, you've separated yourself. You see, they don't want anyone to, you know, jump off the Titanic into the lifeboat.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's and actually the world goes through tremendous painstaking efforts mm-hmm. to keep you from ever connecting up with who you really are. In fact, I see the vast majority of the world's resources being put towards that effort. And whether it be trauma and whether it be difficult circumstances, whether it be pleasures and riches, whatever it is, mm-hmm. To keep you from connecting up with who you really are in Christ Jesus, which is beyond a barrier that they can never reach.
It's not you can't reach it by self-will. It's an act of grace, God's grace to us, offering us that gift of salvation and the grace and the power to separate. You can't, if you're drowning, you can't save another drowning man, but God can. So I try to explain to people, Jesus is the only one. Look at all the different religions or all the different books out there. You don't see anywhere someone that is God. He proclaims himself God. He is God. Because only God could give us the Holy Spirit. In other words, the power within us, he gives us the Comforter when he ascends. So any believer in Christ has this Holy Spirit within them, given to them. And that's something that nowhere else is available, anywhere else on this entire planet.
And just for people listening in right now, wouldn't you like some comfort in all that's going on?
Peace.
I mean, peace. I mean, seriously. You know, and because, too, the peace that God gives is, and this is why the world will never understand us, is that the peace that God gives is that internal, it's no matter what is happening externally, he makes a change on the inside. And in spirit, in the place where you really are, you connect up with who you really are, you realize that, wait a second, you're in the dream, and really nothing can touch the true you. The true you that's in operation in this dimension. So it's to see people choosing. Imagine if you were everybody knows what it is to dream. So imagine if you were dreaming, why would you in a dream choose to sit in the cubicle when there's a whole adventure offered to you inside of a dream? You can do anything when you dream. And God allows for an amazing adventure even now for anyone that will follow him.
It's amazing in the whole church system, which is based on the Babylonian old way, which is slavery. In other words, embracing the world and, slaving in the world to get what you want. Okay, that's basically the system. Okay, so it's amazing when they have Christ and he's supposed to, and the scriptures talk about liberation. So there they are. Jesus has liberated them all. They know Jesus. And they sit in the prison cell. He said, here's the door open.
Yeah.
And then they go back in their own cell and leave and stay there.
Yeah. Well, they say, you know, we've never been slaves. A failure to even realize. I mean, Jesus came to set the captives free. He came to give recovery of sight for the blind. He came, and it's like what he offers, but it comes on his terms. And I think that's one of the hardest things for people to come to a realization that it is on his terms.
I mean, Govinda, if you meet a guy and he's got like, you know, three PhDs, right? And he's like pastoring a church and he's been through the, you know, he's already been tapped. You try to talk to a guy like that about this, he'll throw you out the door. He'll say, you're insane. You know,
He doesn't realize right now he's not going to end up with that church. And he's not going to end up, those PhDs won't mean anything in what's coming.
Yeah, but there is that going on. And so we say that religion is a failure, you know, in general. Yeah. But man needs religion. Man is desperate for peace.
Well, yeah. I mean, they need, you know, and I keep seeing where people, they constantly need another person to stand before them and God, between them and God. There's something just inherently wrong with where people, we put up audio, I think it's in our band sermons category, where on faithmix.com, where it was just the truth on tithing, you know, and it was just, but one thing just when we were doing the study was the place where this whole doctrine came out of, this practice by the current churches, is, if you go back to the history of it, is basically people not wanting to have God rule over them as their king, and God not, and not to hear from God for themselves. So they wanted Moses, you go stand before God, and you tell us what he said. And no, we want to be like the nations around us. And you have, out of that, you have the formation eventually of the Levitical priesthood, and you have the king coming up with Saul. And they said, when you do that, this is what you're going to have. And see, even today, people will rather go under the curse of the law, which was ultimately that you would have a man standing between you and God. You will have somebody tell you what God said. And then, but also the reason they did that was because they wanted somebody to blame when things went wrong. Mm-hmm. So when they went their own way, they wanted to say, hey, Moses, who do you think you are?
Oh, yeah. Well, that was terrible what happened there, but... When the golden calf rebellion occurred, you know, and the other thing people don't like about God is they don't like how he, you know, nuked Sodom and Gomorrah, and, you know, how there's judgment for sin. They don't believe that they're sinners. They believe they're born innocent, and that God, the real truth is that we're born the way we are, for our own enjoyment and pleasure, and the cycles of death are all, of life and death are beautiful. And we just need to embrace it and learn how to get the most out of life. And what are you talking about? Okay, that's your response from, say, the New Age, you know, for lack of a better term. It's a masterful state of denial in the sense that they're saying the world is good for one thing. And when I look around, I'm going, it may be good in some spots, but in general, the world is, you know, the way there's a lot of people suffering is what I'm saying.
Yeah, there are. And, I mean, it's... It depends on how much you want to look and how, Siddhartha, he went at it when he saw it, and he just said, boy, this is, you know, but most people will switch the channel. You know, they don't really want to know what's going on. And maybe that's representative of just people not wanting to deal with the horrors of what's going on around them. But the truth is it gets closer and closer every day that goes on. But see, that's where, too... it's all the more reason why you must connect up with the Father. You must connect up in the Spirit with your true self through Christ. Because unless you have that, you really have no protection. You have no direction in all that's happening anyways. Yeah. Sometimes people, you know, they will, out of a desire to save my life, as it was, even like they, you know, people wanted to try to save Jesus' life too. I mean, it's good intention people, but out of a desire to that, you know, they're like, well, why are you here? Why are you, you know, in Sri Lanka when, I mean, then they hear the news and things like that. But the thing is I'm in step with the Spirit of God. And as a result of that, you know, you just go wherever he leads you. You do whatever he shows you to do. And truthfully, that is the safest place you'll ever find. And so, you know, if you miss a bomb blast by 15 minutes, hey, you still missed it by 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you would be more endangered walking down the streets of Lincoln, Nebraska to get hit by a car. You know, well, because you were outside of and not in step with the Spirit of God. And I don't know if
that's a very good point.
Well, yeah, it really is. You know, it's not to try to save your life in this world is the same thing as trying to hold on to reality when you're dreaming. I mean, why? You know, what is there? There's nothing there for you.
Well, I've checked it out. You know, like I say, I've experienced all the different disciplines, pretty much almost every one. I mean, there may be one or two like that I didn't see, but I pretty much covered all of them, including various churches, you know, as much as I could about religion, including majoring in world religions and so forth. The only thing is that I didn't find any peace until I truly gave my life over to Yahweh. And, you know, to Yahweh who is Yahshua, Yahweh who is Christ, Yahweh who is Jesus, Yahweh who made the ultimate sacrifice and came here in the flesh. And this is our Creator who came here in the flesh and paid the price for all humanity to be set free, to be free.
Yeah.
But then, Govinda, they'll tell you, oh, but I need pleasure in my life. I don't want to live like a monk. And I'm saying, that's the point. You're not living like a monk. You're free now.
Yeah.
You don't have to do for other people just because they call in a favor or whatever. You don't have any of the all those old rules are gone. That's what I'm
And also, I don't know if people realize, I mean, God invented pleasure. You know, but the pleasures that he offers.
Yeah.
I mean, the pleasures that God offers too. It's amazing because, you've talked, Zeph, before about higher octaves of spirit.
Mm-hmm.
The pleasures that God offers in a higher octave of spirit, people that live in a base reality couldn't even begin to fathom what those are, because they live in a base reality where they can't, they could never experience that. And it's so subtle what he does, and yet far deeper. So it's kind of like, because people, they only know what it is to play in a sandbox, they can't imagine the world out of the sandbox. They've never been to the beach. They have no idea what it is to be to the beach. And so it's just, and then it's like, I mean, when you talk and when you're sharing, or you know, when I'm sharing too, it's just, I've been to the beach. That's all I'm telling you. Is like, it's a lot nicer than in the sandbox.
I need to carry, now that I'm thinking about it, we need to carry your feed if we can get that feed so I can carry it on predicto.blogspot.com. You can go to predicto.blogspot.com and see just a few authors putting together, you know, a flow of news and thoughts and all kinds of things. It's really kind of it's what started as an experiment, but it looks like it's going to stick around. So I just remind myself now, I want to send you an invitation to post there. And if you have, do you have an RSS feed off your site?
You know, Zeph, I don't know what I have on a lot of these things. I got some help, some serious help coming in from guys all over the world.
All right, well, but
we do. So
could your webmaster then send me the link to the RSS feed, and then we'll carry it so that everything you post, every audio you do, it will show up on predicto.blogspot.com and open the way for Faith Mix to be reaching. Because people, you've been listening to Govinda talking about, can I say your whole name, Govinda Tidball?
I guess you already have. Go ahead.
Well, no, I mean, are we still under the threat of...
Well, I mean, that's cool. It's cool. I mean, it's just...
Govinda, you know, T. Govinda,
yeah,
T.
That's fine.
Okay.
That's cool.
All right. There's still a little bit of a... all right. I didn't think so, but all right.
Yeah.
So I'll
I mean, we're good. It's just, you know, the thing is here, it's just, you know what's crazy about this country is that... And I've seen God's, you know, just hand in protecting and watching over me while I've been here. But it's amazing. I mean, in this place, it's not like the States where, you know, you have this open dialogue and just... I mean, there's a lot of people that say a lot of things, but there's tons of people here that just, you know, they just... whoever you are, whatever you might say, they don't like it. And people here...
Yeah, I
understand. Yeah. So
whatever you say.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. So it's like, and the problem is here, because human life has been cheapened so much. You know, it just takes a bit of, you pick your battles, you pick the things that you're going to go after. And I mean, you do, you know, but you also do it wherever the Spirit of God leads you. So, I mean, even the thing with Faith Mix too, when we started that one, was just, I mean, there's guys that are involved with it that are just happy to never, you know, have their names associated with anything, because it's, you know, something they're doing unto the Lord, and it's areas that they have talents and abilities. And even for me, it's like, I mean, if nobody even ever knew my name on there, it would be fine. But my joy in that is just that I know that some people check in there and it reaches them, and they receive something from the Father that He would have had to put out for them, and it's enough. You know, that's what I like in the medium of just being able to post stuff, is that it can reach people, and in all kinds, it extends the shelf life of what we do, because you know, for me, it's just sharing. It's a way to. It does a few things for me, but one is it's a way of just sharing the adventure that God's already put me on.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, because my thing too is I want to encourage people to really trust God. I mean, faith. You can substitute the word faith for trust. It's the same word.
Mm-hmm.
And to really just trust Him that He is. He's good on His word, and
yeah.
What He said, He certainly will do. What He said, he comes good on. So, like, I was enjoying listening to Bon Bon the other day.
Yeah, oh yeah.
She was just talking about, I mean, because it's like, it's her story's not uncommon for people that trusted the Father and walked with Him. It's actually par for the course.
I stirred up a hornet's nest in Los Angeles, and on purpose, not trying, but by trying to figure out what happened to me and what was going on, it uncovered a lot of stuff. And then basically there were death threats, and they were taking, again, betting on how long I would last. And there were certain odds established, you know, that I would never get out of Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if I did get out, then, you know, I guess someone would make a lot of money on me. But I mean, these are sinister people. They're behind the scenes, they're hidden, but they're all kind of together in their little hideout. And they're,
well, but I think even now, I think the people that really try to mess are probably the low to mid-level guys.
But
I think the high-level guys don't mess anymore, because I think they know what will happen to them.
No, they understand, you know, there is that protection, and the Lord had to give that to me. So, but He told me this. He said, I will never leave you or forsake you, and I will give you a blessing like the blessing of Abraham, but to you specifically.
Yeah.
That way you can go where I need you to go, and don't worry.
Yeah.
Well, He marched me right out of there into the that was the beginning of the Zeph report. It was the beginning of, I never was online before. I didn't know anything about it, but every single thing that happened, being online, even this whole music adventure I'm on, which is a whole new thing for me. All of this was given by the Father, all of it. You know, I'm living a life now that is just so full of a lot of, just spiritual. So the only problem I've had, Govinda, is this: learning to, you know, first of all, getting over the trauma. I mean, I'm still going through a healing, and I'm light years ahead of where I would have been had I gone to shrinks. I mean, I wouldn't have been anywhere. Okay, that's all the Lord's power. But one further thing, I mean, getting out of L.A. actually turned a lot of people to the Lord, because they said there's no way he could have gotten out of here without the divine hand of God. And so they were convinced.
Yeah.
See,
yeah.
And so now it's like, learn to trust. Don't be afraid, in other words. See, that's one thing. That the fearful are really, you know, like the book of Revelation says, you know, the fearful and unbelieving. They're not in. That's one thing. Trust on everything, and then forgive. The central that's been hard for me to do, because I've had a grudge against a lot of people that did I think wrong to me. But I have to forgive, and I have forgiven them.
Yeah.
But that was the toughest one.
Well, and you know, Zeph, with forgiveness, one prayer that God taught me in that was, you know, all right, Father God, I see in your word that you tell me to forgive, and I choose. But you also know where I'm at right now, so I choose to, by the power of your Holy Spirit, forgive this person or this group. Or I choose by my free will to allow your Holy Spirit to do that in me. But you do it, but I set my will to do that. And when you do that, what that really is, because it's a work he does in you, because everything in our flesh would never want to ever forgive anybody for any of this stuff.
Another excellent point, Govinda, excellent, that when it means nothing if I say to someone, I forgive you, because I really don't, because I can't really forgive anyone, but with his power, it can happen, because it's a work he does. I say yes to it, then he completes the process that I can't do. Beautiful point. Yeah.
Well, it's setting the will. See, what happens is it's in the Word. So you open up the Word. It's there. It jumps off at the page. He says right there, look, you know, if you don't forgive others, it's like your Heavenly Father will forgive you. And you're like, okay, well, God, I definitely need your forgiveness, and I want to line up with your Word. Here it is in your Word. You said it, and I choose this. I want this. But also, you know where I'm at. You know what I'm dealing with. You know what I'm struggling with. So, Lord, I choose by the prayer is this. Lord, I choose by the power of your Holy Spirit to forgive. You enable this, and you make this happen in me, Father, and I just yield to the work of your Spirit in me. And if you do that, if you allow for that, he does that in you. And then what happens is one day, and it's a process too, but one day you wake up and the pain's not there. One day you wake up and you don't have it anymore. That what it's you know some things happen, but whatever it may be, he's healed that, and you don't have that ill will towards those people. It's not there anymore because he's done that.
Well,
but it's something he does.
You can refer if you like to Matthew 5. Through 7, and just pretty much the whole, whenever Jesus speaks, he's pretty much almost everywhere, he's speaking about this need to forgive, and not an eye for an eye, and all that, which are the Beatitudes, as well as the Sermon on the Mount, as well as it goes on and on. But forgiveness is key, and I'll just say it right after he says the Lord's Prayer. I believe this is Matthew 7, am I right? Matthew 7, right after the Lord's Prayer is. Basically, he says, this is actually more important. He says, if you don't forgive those who have trespassed against you, basically what he just said in giving us the Lord's Prayer, which is very, if you don't have any other prayer to say, say that one. But if you don't forgive those who have done harm to you, you will not be forgiven, and hence you're stuck.
Yeah. And why would that be also right after prayer? Right, so he teaches people to pray, and he says, well, oh, by the way, you need to know this so that your prayer gets there. See, people don't realize that they block themselves from connecting up again with the Father and with their true self, because they limited themselves by the choice of their free will.
What do you tell someone, Govinda, that is, ashamed of themselves, who just has, those kind of issues, like either abuse issues or just like a shame and guilt type of thing? Where they're just they don't want to be their true selves because they're afraid, because they're ashamed. How does that? Is there a healing for that?
Well, I was talking to a friend the other day, kind of along these lines. You see, the people. We do have an enemy in this world, the devil, and it's interesting how he. In one stage, his whole thing is, look over here, this whole enticement thing, and. But then, after the enticement, after all of that, if you bite on that hook, if you take the bait, then the whole time after that, it's this guilt and shame and, you did it, you fell for it, you went for it. And so it's this setup, and then for the rest of your life, or for however long you can be held in that.
Yeah, 2 billion and, served.
and so it's just this... It's this, however long you can be held there. See, again, what did Jesus say? He said he came to set the captives free. So his part of what he did and part of the work of Christ in destroying the works of the devil was to set you free from whatever it is that may bind you. So the guilt, the shame.
Yeah, guilt and shame is a big one. That's a huge one.
Oh, it is a big one.
Huge one.
It is a big one. And but then also realizing, wait a second, what died in Christ? Well, what died in Christ was also the old me and all that went with it.
Yeah, shame.
All of it.
Guilt.
The shame, the guilt,
ego,
all of it.
Egotism.
Jesus took it all.
Pride.
See, when Jesus went on the cross and he died on that cross, he took it all upon himself. He didn't give back any of it.
So I'm
every
free.
Every single... Yeah.
So we're free.
It's just... And sometimes the process is just letting that catch up. to letting the heart and the mind catch up to what happened in the body. So it's, I mean, in Christ, yes, we are free. So
in my younger time, in other words, I've kind of gone through a process of growth over the last few years. But in the younger time, I was always just, you know, rebuking like anyone with prophecy would rebuke the powers of be, rebuke the power of this world, rebuke that which is under the surface, rebuke that the bait and switch churchianity that goes on, rebuke the secret circles of shame that just keep people in bondage in exchange for, you know, getting what they want. Rebuking. But then, of course, as I've gotten older, right, just kind of like John, remember he was like, bring fire and thunder down on them and destroy them. And then later he was like, he was the love doctor.
Yeah.
So you do, the Lord allows you to go through these different cycles of, you know, being fiery for the Lord and then being more wise and then, you know, then the love and forgiveness. It takes time, almost a whole lifetime to not a whole lifetime. Yeah. I mean, it's almost like an arc a person goes through.
Well, you know, there's this, it's interesting because when you step into Christ, when he connects you up with eternity now, and so, and he is I am. So, I mean, he's not,
amen.
One thing he sets you free from is the illusion of time. But when we step into I am, what happens is we end up going through more like phases rather than, like the world goes through time. And there's cycles, and we go through phases in the state of eternity, and the phases continue on throughout. So it's not, so even the transition out of this paradigm, out of this world, is just a shift from one phase to another, and it's no, and you'll experience several phase shifts even while you're here. So it's not, it's just like a hiccup.
That's what we tell people so they don't get so invested in this world. It's like, hey, you know, here today, gone tomorrow. I mean, you know, you want to hook into an eternal lifestyle now and let all that melt away. All your hopes and dreams mean nothing because if they're worldly, because they're going to be fleeting at best. Ask any old person who's achieved something. I have had the privilege of being around old people who were tops in their field, tops in the world. Every single one of them became very humble after their reign of terror and very contrite after their reign of terror. And every single one told me they wish they could start again. They would do everything a lot differently now that they've learned that that didn't give them the pleasure they thought they were going to get.
Yeah, there was nothing at the end of that race.
No, they had riches. They set up trust funds for their grandkids, let's say. They, you know, like in the Bible talks about having wealth to the third generation is like the sign of a real wise man. Yes, there's some truth to that, but since Christ, worldly ambitions such as that are not, they're not really, they kind of melt away.
Well, and you know, the thing that happens with Christ is that it really doesn't matter. So, you know, whether you have a lot or whether you have a little, that is that secret that Paul talked about of just being content in all situations. It's like, and so there is this element of, I mean, you have guys in Scripture that had a lot, but they had a lot because there was, because God also knew that, hey, it was not a hindrance for them. And then other people, it's like, look, you know, you get two pennies to scratch together and you think one of them's yours. So God, in the whole process, I mean, even in dealing with the rich young ruler, his whole thing with him was, you know, first go sell what you got and then come follow me, because the then was, well, this is what's blocking you. This is what's keeping you from going the route that I got. And so, you know, he turned back sad. And he didn't get another shot.
That's, you know, there is that issue that there's some people don't want to leave. They just, you know, they think Disneyland is real and they just can't get off Space Mountain and having hot dogs and you know what I mean? They just don't want to leave. They feel threatened by leaving the Matrix, if you will. They feel like it's a threat to change all this. Why, you know, I don't want to change. It's almost like a death. And I would say, yes, it is a death. Just yeah. like you go through a death to get what the, you want in the world, you go through a death to get liberated in Christ. I mean, there is a price.
Yeah.
Nothing is free. I mean, at the same time, it is free.
Well, you know, it's just that what he, when you realize really in the end that what he asks us to give up and what he, is just the things that bind you. It's just the things that hold you. It's just the things that trap you. Mm-hmm. And you don't realize it until you get to the other side of that, where you do die a very real death to everything in the world except you just stop, except for stopping to breathe. You really do die to this world. And but then you realize, whoa, wait a second, what it is to really be alive. And see, I think and most people, they never understand or never, they're never alive. And so they keep looking for it. They keep searching for it, and they look for it in one distraction after the other, and they go through miserable, pathetic lives. And I mean, it's just, and it's so, it's freely offered. See, that's just it. Jesus says, "Look, it's here. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden." People don't realize sin is hard work. You wore out by the time you get done. I mean, it's, you, these guys are wore out. They're wore down to the nub, and it's like, and you know, he offers. He's like, look, you gotta, I mean, you gotta go through a lot to do yourself into the ground that bad. And he just offers rest. Well,
I think they keep looking in those areas for some kind of happiness in patterns of sin, you know, winning the game, if you will, for that on the other side, if they could just get this done, if they could just get their retirement, if they could just get down the road, then, see, then something's gonna happen.
Yeah. Well, and you know, I'll just project ahead a little bit. Look at just a generation that's gone. You know, one generation ahead, people that were here, movers and shakers, if you saw them, nobody even remembers their name today.
No, they don't. They remember.
Yeah, nobody even. Yeah. I mean, some of them desperate to be remembered, like Rockefeller and Carnegie and some of these big names in the States. They built monuments to themselves. And I mean, just trying to be remembered, trying to make sure that people didn't forget who they were. I mean, and at the height of it, people don't think about these men anymore. I mean, there's just an obscure reference here and there. Yeah,
there's a little people statue don't. Somewhere and it doesn't matter.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, they're dead, so what difference does it make to them? They're already dead and gone.
Yeah.
So that's the, yeah. So we talk about the antidote to live an eternal lifestyle. And yes, but okay, in America, people don't want to take flack. And you know, even like you said, when the Buddha went out, you know, Siddhartha went out to quest for truth to find the answer to human suffering, he got mm-hmm. flack. And even the ascetics turned against him. Like, and those are the most extreme separated people you'll ever see. They eat like one thing of rice a day and they're just very emaciated and people give them alms because they think they'll get a blessing from God if they take care of them. Okay. So you see these sannyasins, these sadhus out there, and they, he said, you guys are just torturing yourselves and you ain't where it's at. And then they came against him like, well, you're totally delusional, pal. You know? Oh, well, gosh. I want to bring that whole Eastern thing in here because I really am trying to, I feel like America is going through another cycle, Govinda, and you know, that's why you're the perfect guest today. America is going through another cycle of looking to the East for religious freedom. For spiritual freedom.
Well, it's because also they realize the spiritual bankruptcy of the American church.
Right.
I mean, what happens with a lot of these guys is they'll get on a plane and they'll buy a speaking opportunity over here in another fallen organized Babylonian church in these places, and mm-hmm. so they get some shots, and then they go back home and they try to pawn it off like they're actually doing something, or that, you know, their ministry has some validity somewhere. But you know, people that realize at the end of the day that the words that are spoken are not in connection with the Spirit of God, there's no life there. There's no truth. There's no. It does not feed them. Even people listening to this audio right now, mm-hmm. they have their spirits are being fed.
Yes.
And they know the difference between being fed. That's why there's so many people that will tune in and will, because they are hungry. And so the problem is, so they realize, okay, it's not there. But they stay still stuck in the trap of looking to another place perceiving that it might have something that it really doesn't. I mean, the truth is, but if you really, and here's where I just, my encouragement to people is, look, just seek the truth. If you really seek the truth, then go for it. Go all out. But you ultimately find Jesus.
That's where it leads. And a lot of people just, they can't have that because it's so politically incorrect, but they don't realize Jesus is not, if they knew him, the greatest rebel of all time and the most peaceful, the guy who actually had the solution for peace on earth, but was hated by the establishment, they would say, hey, Jesus is cool. But then when he becomes the establishment or they use his name to go create a war or something like that, you know, people get turned off. But now, Govinda, let's talk about the wars in the name of the Buddha. Because this Westerners have not heard this before. They think the Buddha is all about peace and all that. Just the same as there have been crusades, there have been wars between Buddhists and Hindus.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, in fact, even in Sri Lanka, when there was that, there was kind of that downtime, that lull in the civil war. Mm-hmm. But if you kind of were tracking or if you knew what was going on in the country during that time, there were churches being burned down and pastors being attacked by Buddhists, by monks. And so, I mean, it's all religions are forms of social control. All religions are forms of man seeking to, again, lord it over another man and to keep them in a place where they can control and use them.
Right.
And Jesus sets you free from all of that.
I mean, it makes sense because they want to have labor, division of labor. You have to find some operating mechanism to keep everyone on the same page so they'll go produce the labor so that you can, you know, so you give them a religion that will work in terms of keeping the labor going forward.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Buddhism was one.
Well, they continue to refine it. I mean, these religions, all of them have been in refinement for a pretty long time. So, I mean, when you kind of come to the point where, you know, now you're being brought into whatever one it is that you're around, I mean, they've taken some time to put it together the way that to control people. And so people jump around a little bit, but still, if there's not a heart for truth, you won't find it. If people are looking for another substitute, yeah, there's plenty of them out there.
Why does someone need to go through what we're talking about? Why can't they just stay in their comfort zones?
Because there's something that gnaws away at them, at the eternal part of who they are, knowing that this is not it. It's just like that burr underneath their saddle. It's just the itch they got to scratch.
Mm-hmm. It's not. A lot of times they think, well, we could get rid of them, whoever them is, at that moment. Then we could have our happiness on the world. And why won't that happen?
Well, the other side of it too is there's a whole spiritual. I mean, the whole spiritual thing going on behind the scenes. It's fascinating to me. It's on a level where, I mean, what you see with the eyes is not real. The spiritual reality is what's real, and so just how much is manifest in the natural realm that comes from a spiritual push. So when people are hooked into the world religious systems, including the religion of Christianity, not the following of Christ, but the religion of Christianity, the 501c3 established Babylonian eat from Jezebel's table, that one.
Oh, yes, we know. That's a good way of putting it, too.
that one.
I'm going to have to copy that one. I just got a riff off you. Thanks.
Well, that one is the problem with it is that if you're not hooked into Christ, what you are hooked into is the system of the world and every demonic force that will work through that. And what's the purpose of the system of the world is to end, well, the master of the system of the world, the prince of the power of this world, is the thief comes to rob, to steal, to kill, to destroy. So what his whole deal is everything that's pushed and comes through his people, his servants, ultimately leads to that end. So the religious systems of the world lead that way. The political systems of the world lead that way. The economic systems of the world, they all go that direction.
Yeah.
And the only way to be set free from that is by the power of God. Because his love, his power, he's the strong man. He's the one that he's a stronger man than the strong man. So what happens is he comes in and liberates and pulls out those that are his. So it is the only one that sets you free from that. But and what they can't stand is that if you get set free and then you're empowered by Him, by the power of His Spirit, and you're still here. So you still exist here in this reality, in this paradigm, in this dimension. You know who you are, and now you are an incredibly destructive force to everything that they're working so hard to protect, so hard to put together. Just your very existence, the very fact that you bear fruit, that you, the character and the nature of God come through you into this dark reality, it shines the light, and the cockroaches, all of a sudden, they got to deal with who they are because the lights are on and they can see each other.
Brings us your presence. So that's why I tell people, you know, you don't always have to open your mouth when you're around them to get some good done to spread the gospel. You just, you know, you shine your light by something like this, Govinda. Despite the oppression, you go on joyously and in love, doing as God, you know, your work, you know, being about the Father's business. And they see that and they go, oh my God. I mean, we're throwing everything in the kitchen sink at this guy. And he's just happy and he's blessing us and he's going in and doing this and doing that. It's like, what, this is like a nightmare, right?
Well, and it really is for them. I mean, it really is. It's just, and you know, it's just, and that's why too, the whole thing about, you know, even we were talking earlier about forgiveness, you know, because what happens, you get set free from what held you. And then all of a sudden, in this very same place where there's that unforgiveness, His love is coming through. And it's just, I mean, it's just a beautiful, beautiful thing. It's just, it's something that God loves to do with His people. It's just a way that He chooses to function here. And, you know, because it's all of this, it just shows these arrogant, demonic principalities that they've lost. I mean, here it is, these weak, frail creatures by a natural standpoint that God just chooses to put His Spirit in, flow through, and everything that they would try, they still can't. Everything that they throw at them, it just makes them better. It just makes them stronger. It just makes them, refines them even more into who it is that He would have them to be. And the moment, the only time that they'll ever leave is when the Father says, okay, my work with this one's done. And He puts it in their heart and they know it. So it's, I mean, for them, it's agony. I mean, it's already agony enough. They're cut off from the truth and they have to get whatever life they do from gaming and scamming and just like scavengers.
But I know that, and you try to tell people there is another life, and they say, let's make the best of what we've got. And you know, it may be, you call it an evil system, but you know what? It's the only system we've got. Let's make good use of it. Let's work with, what's wrong with working within the system to improve the system? What's wrong with that?
Well, the problem is there is not, it isn't the only system. There is another one. There is God's way. And so, and that, the truth is there's only two. You have the kingdom of light, you have the kingdom of darkness. You have the power of light, you have the power of darkness, the power of the Father and the power of Satan. You have these two different paradigms functioning, but there is another way. And His kingdom is growing, expanding, and filling the whole earth. And so the fact is you can't, the only thing that you can do is come out from among them. Now, if the Father sends you in, so to be in the world and not of it, He sends you back in on a rescue mission where He chooses to. Mm-hmm. And that really is His call. So what He does is He says, all right, for one, sure, I will make you a janitor. For another one, sure, I'm going to make you a professional athlete or the CEO of a company or middle-level management, or I am going to put you on a boat and send you off to China, or I'm going to, whatever it is His call. And it really is Him being Lord. But the system itself, the Babylonian system itself, the world that we're around, no, God, Jesus said, I came to destroy the works of the devil. So what He does is He destroys and tears that thing up, and He does it through us.
And it's wonderful. The guy is totally the ultimate cool dude, rebel. He is God, but He's also cool. You say, oh, how could this, that's not cool, all the goody-two-shoes people walking around. You know, and and I said, okay, so what? You want to be cool? Like, I made this joke, and this is a joke, and please take it as a joke, you know, from someone who does, you know, amateur comedy. But if you really want to be politically correct today, you would be, okay, you know, kind of like either an atheist, but even more cool might be to be, a gay Buddhist, or no, bi, I'm sorry, bi, no, bi is cooler. So you're a bi Buddhist vegan. Okay? And then you're like, yeah, really, at the cocktail parties, you're like the go-to guy for everything. You know what I mean?
Well, until next month, and they decide to change the advertising on you, and now you got to switch religions.
Then you switch religion, then it's, you're not, now you're the atheist, and then you're the...
And bring a sheep to the party. It's like, I mean, it's just, you know, how far you want to go with this?
Okay,
I mean,
okay, you really want to, be cool. Yeah, they want more and more. Now you got to bring a sheep, and, you know, and there's no slaughter of that sheep, then you're in trouble there. So,
I mean, it's just.
I try to avoid parties like that, by the way. I don't need it. No, because I'm sparing them for now. Wait, maybe one day I will show up, because I'm convinced that those of us who have like a prophetic walk, and everything we've been talking about today is prophecy. This, people don't realize that. When you're uncovering what's there, you're being like Ezekiel. You're, you know, in chapter 9, you know, you're uncovering what that which is there. You know, you're showing that these people, that all that glitters is not gold. Like, for example, we're showing the Dalai Lama, and I'm going through a little bit of the history of Tibet and the association of Tibetan monks with Adolf Hitler. And people find that offensive. Oh, His Holiness. Let me ask you, where's the spirit? I don't see any spirituality there. I see a political leader, yes. But I don't see the guy who is Mr. Peace and Love go to the Dalai Lama for peace. That's a mind control. That's some kind of where do you get that? There's no evidence that he brings peace. Yeah. He just says, we're all one. We all have to conform. You know, I mean, that's his message.
Well, yeah, and they'll keep propping up people on the stage. They'll keep changing the flavor every month. I mean,
we're going to talk about that next hour with Constance Cummings, by the way. We're going to talk about the Dalai Lama and Bush and the connection. I made a comment on her blog, Govinda, where I just said, what are you talking about? Bush and the Dalai Lama are exactly on the same page. What does that strike you as odd? The people are going, oh no, he's a Christian. He gave the Dalai Lama. It's like, excuse me, but they're both the same. Exactly. Yeah. They're friends. What's wrong with it? It makes sense to me. I'd say, you know, carry on.
Yeah. Well,
they don't bother me. They don't bother me. They ought to go play a little golf, you know. Maybe he could get out of that robe and put some shorts on and. Anyway,
caddy shack.
Yeah, he could get a little caddy and the journey to enlightenment. Yeah, and then you know we always want to find these wise people of the, you know, this old Chinese master of the Tao, and he's going to tell, you know, we're going to go sit at the feet of a shaman in Mexico. We're going to, you know, we're going to go to Machu Picchu. We're going to traverse the great, you know, the journey across. We're really on the spiritual journey. It's like, no, it's just a carnal journey. You're just on a flesh gratifying journey. Going from place to place, going, oh, I'm feeling it, my brother, I'm feeling it. You could be in a prison cell and be enlightened, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they'll definitely have spiritual experiences, too. But just be careful what ends up catching on to you during that time, because you'll have to be delivered from it later.
No, okay, another good point. Govinda, I could talk to you for hours and hours and hours about, I just love your testimony, the things you say. And, you know, here is a young man kind of on the move in ministry, and you're going to be hearing a lot more from him. His site is called Faith Mix. That's faithmix.com. Get over there. We're going to find a way to put links on predicto.com so that people can go there. And also you can see him in the guest section of Zephnet, which is the broadcast outlet. Govinda, God bless you and your family. Thank you so much for being here. I'm right on the hour.
Hey, God bless you, Z. It's always fun. And I got to send a shout-out to my boy Patrick, listening up in Canada.
Oh, yes.
Hey, God bless you, Pat.
We've been praying for him and his family, and I think it's going okay, but I haven't heard.
Yeah. Well,
okay.
Things are better there, too. So.
Okay.
Much appreciated.
Thank you, Govinda, and we'll chat you later.
All right, sounds great. Take care.
Take care. That's Govinda, and he's the man when it comes to the carrying the word in Sri Lanka. We'll be right back next hour. Constance Cumby, Bush and the Dalai Lama, what do they have in common?